Yep. This is Celebration Sunday, and maybe you can smell the grilled hamburgers coming in the window. But I guess that's one of the changes we've made, isn't it? Let's just pray again. Father, we're grateful for so many things, and we've been reminded today that although we're isolated in some respects, that there are many things that we have to be thankful for, and particularly our salvation that comes through you. And we pray that this might be a time that we can appreciate and use well this extra time that we have, and that we can have interactions with those who don't know you or need to come back to you, and that they would be drawn to you during this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think that most of us have lived through times of unprecedented peace. We've heard the term unprecedented, but I think that applies to much of our lives. We've had unprecedented peace, prosperity, and plenty. But now we're facing uncertain and troubling times. For many, job loss, financial uncertainty, possibly sickness, and even death. And our daily routines have been disrupted and changed. So where is all this headed? And how long will it last? What is going to happen to me and my... We would all like to know, but at times, it's better if we just live one day at a time as it comes. God usually fills us in on a need-to-know basis. Another question, dare we ask, could this be the beginning of the end? As in the book of Revelation, beginning of the end. And that's a good question. Let's discuss that briefly. And then we'll turn our focus to who God is, what he is like, and what that means to us in times of crisis and distress. And so Dr. Jeremiah has answered this question well, so I'm going to quote him on this matter. He says, "Is this a sign of the second coming of Christ? I cannot say with any sense of certainty that it is. But neither can I say with any certainty that it is not. It could be the early evidence of number 3 on Jesus' sign list." So after the meeting is over, you can read Luke 21 and see what's in that list. And here's verse 11. Jesus refers to what will happen at the end of the age as a pestilence. Merriam-Webster defines pestilence as a contagion or infectious epidemic that is virulent and devastating. Jesus said that this pestilence would arrive like birth pains. This means that it will increase in frequency and intensity in the time leading up to his return. This means that as the end approaches, we should expect infectious disease outbreaks to occur more frequently, impact more people, and be more deadly. This is what the coronavirus threatens to do. End of quote. So, is this the beginning of the end? The answer is, we don't know. But whether it is or not, it will almost certainly become more difficult, more costly to live our faith and share our faith. But we need to make the most of each day, living lives of thankfulness and dependence in the presence of God. We know and we believe that God is the God of the good times, but do we also know and believe that he is the God of the difficult times? As Job asked, should we accept good and not evil? 2 years ago, 2 years after Beth and I moved to Nigeria, on the afternoon of Friday, September 8th, 2001, after the mosques let out, the peaceful city of Jos, where we then lived, erupted into violence. 4 of the largest churches in the city center were set on fire, and violence spread throughout the city. That night, one of our neighbors went out to view the carnage in an armored personnel carrier with his neighbor, retired General Yakubu Gowon, a former head of state for Nigeria. He reported back that they had seen tipper loads, dump truck loads, of bodies being transported to open mass graves for burial. The following Monday morning, September 11th, a group of missionaries with SIM met to discuss our options in the deteriorating security situation in Johnson Plateau State, where we lived. The U.S. Embassy was willing to send armored limousines to transport Americans from Jos to the Nigerian capital of Abuja, where they could fly back to the safety of America. But we wondered, how could we return to the safety of America while our Nigerian friends, neighbors, and colleagues had nowhere to flee? And then the news came to us. Two planes, piloted by terrorists, had hit the Twin Towers in New York City. The illusion of safety in America was immediately shattered. Our focus returned to our God, who watches over us, cares for us, and who remained in control. Our trust is not to be in the government or the military or the security forces or in America, but in God. And I recall the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Great is his faithfulness. So regardless of the time or the place or the circumstances we find ourselves in, our trust must be in God. In these past few weeks, each of us has been affected in different ways, some more than others. Some have lost their jobs and income. Students can no longer attend school. If we go to the stores, many of the shelves are bare. We also respond in different ways, each of us. Some believers may take this in their stride, others as a challenge to be met, and yet others with apprehension and fear. But if I voice my concerns and fears, won't I be condemned as a weak Christian lacking in faith? No, I trust not. We are in Christ, sisters and brothers together, and we need to be free to express our concerns and fears and doubts to one another and to God without judgment. Just as the psalmist often did, and even as Jesus did to his father in Gethsemane, we must be in prayer one for another, that all will be strengthened in their faith in God. Share your needs with us, and we will share ours with you. In Psalm 27, David writes, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Well, probably no one trusts in horses and chariots today. But what do we trust in? I am thankful for our jobs and retirements. I am grateful for our grocery stores and farmers. I'm grateful for our healthcare system and workers. I'm thankful for our first responders, our power companies, and our government authorities that God has ordained to lead us. But let us not put our trust in these things. Rather, we trust in the name of the Lord our God. So in times like these, our focus must not be on the crisis, but upon the Savior who loves us and died for us. What kind of a God do you want? What kind of a God do we need when faced with a global crisis with life and death consequences and significant financial distress? What kind of a God is our God? And I want to go through just a few points. We don't want to go through all of the attributes of God. But first, we need a strong God who also strengthens us, who gives us strength. Isaiah 40, 28. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases power of the weak." So we need a strong God, but one who also strengthens us. Notice it said, he gives strength to the weary. And then we need a God of wisdom who shares his wisdom with us. And I think of James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously and without reproach, and it will be given him. And so I mentioned earlier our daughter Heather and the decision she had to make. And so that was a time when we need, when Heather needs God's wisdom. What decision does she make? And so in difficult times, a struggle also strengthens us. We need a God of wisdom who shares his wisdom with us. And we also need an unchanging God in a changing world. And the world we live in is changing, and it's not just this coronavirus. We can't help but notice what was considered good yesterday is evil today. But with our unchanging God, good is always good, and evil is always evil. And so God and his word do not change. I read again from Isaiah 40, verse 8. And this is one of the verses that our kids in Good News Club learned. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. And then Malachi 6:3-6. I, the Lord, do not change. And so because we serve an unchanging God, we don't need to be confused by a changing world around us. Our God is not capricious, always changing. He assures us, I am God, and I change not. So in a time of trouble, we need a strong God who also strengthens us. We need a God of wisdom who shares his wisdom with us. We also need an unchanging God in a changing world. How should we respond in times of crisis? And there's been a lot of advice. I'm not going to reiterate all of that, but don't take unnecessary risks, especially if it's only to demonstrate superior faith in God. And I think we need to realize there's a difference between fear and caution. When we see somebody being cautious, it doesn't mean they're fearful. And we can exercise caution without embracing fear. But also, don't avoid risk if God is calling you to minister in a specific way that may place you at risk. We've been studying through the book of Acts, and Paul, and I don't know that we've gotten there yet, but he was advised not to go to Jerusalem by some of the brothers because it would put him at risk. And I don't think that those brothers were speaking out of turn. I think that they were speaking God's word to Paul. But the Spirit also spoke directly to Paul and told him to go to Jerusalem. So Paul went to Jerusalem despite the risk. So don't take unnecessary risks, but don't run away from them either if God is calling you to minister in a specific way. A second thought, approach each day with prayer and thanksgiving. And we heard earlier some of the testimonies here. We forget sometimes when we look at this huge thing that's happening about the small blessings and the many things that we have to be thankful for. And prayer and thanksgiving is an antidote to anxiety. So I read Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, and these are some of my favorite verses. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your anxiety, all your care on him because he cares for you. And then keep in touch with other believers. So Hebrews 10, 25 says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And it's great that you're all here this morning together. And so as I read this, you have to read this in the King James to make this work. But it says, do not forsake the assembling. And I immediately saw an E at the front. We're meeting electronically. So do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And that's something we can be thankful for, is that we can be together online. Call and encourage others. Pray and ask for prayer. And we can share our joys, our needs, our fears, our thanksgivings, and how God has provided. And this gives us extra time to read our Bible and to listen to God. And, you know, I thought of what Haig said earlier. Get up, get dressed, plant a garden, do something special, celebrate even. So what should we as believers expect in the coming weeks and months? And again, I owe this quote to my daughter-in-law, Eleanor. And you know, most of you, the road that Bob and Ellie and Chase and the family have traveled. But this is a quote that has strengthened her from John Piper. And here's what he says. Life is not a straight line leading from one blessing to the next and then finally to heaven. Life is a winding and a troubled road, switchback after switchback. And the point of biblical stories like Joseph and Job and Esther and Ruth is to help us feel in our bones, not just to know in our heads, that God is for us in all these strange turns. God is not just showing up after the trouble and cleaning it up. He is plotting the course and managing the troubles with far-reaching purposes for our good and for the glory of Jesus Christ. Our theme for today is that God is in control of every situation, and he has made a promise to us. Jesus said, surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age, Matthew 28:28. So regardless of the circumstances, whether these are ordinary trouble times or whether this is the end of the age, God is with us. And there's another great verse, Hebrews 13, the last part of verse 5 and verse 6. And God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And that's what I'd like us to take home today. And we did something in our Good News Club. Some of you can see me handing up, holding up my hands with my five fingers. But here's a way that you can remember, and go ahead and do it with us, with me. Here's a way that you can remember these. I'll do it once and then you can join me. And that is, again, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So let's do that together. This is what we need to remember this week. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So we're almost done, and I'd like to sing a couple of choruses, and we're kind of